If you have your Bible, turn over to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. It's not Chabakkuk, it's Habakkuk. And I just want to draw your attention there. It says weather. Basically, we will try to always be open unless the city closes the streets. Now, we want you to use good common sense. If you have a, we used to have some folks here long years ago, had a diesel rabbit. And Kevin was over on, I can't think what road it was now. About here from, they lived in New Haven. And he calls up and he says, my rabbit is gelled up. It was 54 degrees below chill factor. So use some common sense, please. We don't want you hurt. We don't want you in a ditch someplace. We don't want you freezing to death in a diesel rabbit. So anyway, just to remind you of that this morning. Otherwise, we'll try to be here and worship the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the day you've given us, even this snowy day. It's quite beautiful, actually, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. In every instance of life, you provide for us that mercy, that strength, that helping hand, the blessings you give to us every day of our life. We thank you for them. I'd ask, Father God, this morning that you be with Elsie in a very special way. Lord, you know better than we that he is having lots of back pain. I pray, Father God, you just reach down, touch his back, touch that spinal area, Lord, that it might dissipate and he might get some relief. So, Father, we love him. We ask you to be with him. Lord, for others that we have in our minds and our hearts today that need a special touch from you, we pray, Father God, that you would minister to them as only you can. Be with us now as we hear, and we will endeavor to immerse ourselves in your word. Give us a blessing. Help us to go from this place saying, oh, it was so good to be in the house of God with the people of God and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. So Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall fruits be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet, he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind places to the chief singers of my stringed instruments. We ask that the Lord would bless us, and I would just keep your Bible open to those passages. Maybe, you know, stick a little something in there and go back and read those verses later on, even this afternoon. But Paul speaks about joy over in Philippians. Philippians is one of my favorite books because he goes over and over and over about joy. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Note that in the scripture there, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, right? He says, always. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. It's not sometimes. It's not when you get an unexpected check from Uncle Sam. That's not it. But always, always. Some years ago, I had a little example, an illustration about Pretty Pete. If Liz is listening tonight, this morning to this sermon, she'll say, oh, Pretty Pete, I like Pretty Pete. Pretty Pete was a canary, a yellow canary, and this lady had this little beautiful little yellow canary, and she loved it, and it just sang, all kinds of things. My grandma had a couple of parakeets. I don't know that they ever did anything, but just make a mess. But anyway, this little yellow canary was a singer. And so one day, this lady is up there, and she's trying to clean out the cage, Pretty Pete's cage. And so she's got the paper out and doing all this kind of stuff. And so she decided to take her vacuum and kind of clean out the bottom of the cage with a vacuum cleaner. And so she's kind of going woo-hoo like that one. And ring, the phone rings. And so there's the phone hanging on the wall over there a little bit. And so she reaches over, and she picks up the phone. And about that time, her friend says, hello. She said, hello. She went like that, and poof, Pretty Pete went down the vacuum cleaner. And so immediately she opens the vacuum cleaner, picks him out, the vacuum cleaner looks at him, and then she ran over to the sink that had some dishwater in it, went like that, and then she took a hairdryer and went, put it back. Well, a couple of days later, her friend called her up again and said, well, what happened? Is Pete okay? She said, well, he's okay. He seems to be fine, but he just doesn't sing much anymore. I think to myself that's the way with us sometimes. As Christians, this old world beats us up. It's an ordeal sometimes to just do everyday things. We feel like sometimes, you know, it's just a survival mode. If I can just get through this day, you know. And we experience all those kind of things. But you know what? We're supposed to be God singers in this world. Let me ask you, are you happy today? Now, many would answer that by saying, it depends. And they're right. You see, happiness depends upon many things. It depends on our mood sometimes, we're happy. It depends on our situation sometimes. It depends on the people around us. If we are having a good day and we meet somebody that's up and positive, those kind of, all those kind of things, happiness depends on things. But happiness is an elusive thing. We can be happy 1 minute, a few minutes later, boom, we're down in the dumps. And we all want to be happy, but it's hard to keep. Why? Because happiness depends on you and the things you control and have control over, which we don't have a lot of control over, a lot of things. Happiness is essentially a circumstantial mood that we have. Listen, that's the reason why the Bible does speak about happiness and happy 26 times. Did you know that? But the Bible speaks about joy and rejoicing 330 times. Each springs, each word, happiness or joy, springs from a different root word. Happiness comes from a word that talks about things around us in the world. But joy is reserved from coming from God. Despite or in spite of all these things, Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, there shall be no herds in the stalls. What does Habakkuk say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord God of my salvation. I'm not happy and I'm not happy about circumstances, but I can be joyful because I'm rejoicing in the Lord, not circumstances. You know, we have been given a very awesome gift of free will. It's a hard thing for us to grasp a hold of and all those kind of things. But you notice there that when Habakkuk gets through with his list, he says, yet I will rejoice. I will. As a human being, God Almighty has given us this awesome gift, and we can choose to receive something of the Lord, like joy. We can say no. We can say no. There are people out there who have some inclination and understanding about who Jesus is, but they've never said yes to him. They're missing out on all the blessings that God has. Habakkuk says, we do not control our circumstances, but God has given us, because of our relationship with him, this gift of choosing in him the fullness of joy. Whenever God is present, because he is love, we know that we are love, because God never changes. Real joy of the heart cannot be attained without the Lord Jesus being in our life and being Lord of our life. The first step to joy is accepting the Lord Jesus. Now you say to yourself, well, Mike, are you going to go through that elementary thing? Yes, I am. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. How do we get that gift? Paul says over there in Romans chapter 10, if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall what? Believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not dependent on us, it's dependent on him. What God has done. And Paul goes on to say, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, or right relationship with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know, there's some connection there. There's some connection there. I just really don't understand how a person can say that they've accepted the Lord, yet their mouth is silent. I really can't fathom that. I think there's some kind of disconnect there. But nevertheless, that's how we have the Lord in our lives. And when we have the Lord in our lives, we have the avenue of joy all over the place. Look, the cold hard reality of this life is that we miss out on so many of God's blessings because we will not allow Him to bless us. We don't talk to Him, we don't ask, and we don't experience those things because we just don't ask. There's no lasting joy apart from being in Christ. Oh, you might be happy about something. You might get happy about something. You know, somebody does something nice for you or whatever. The circumstances can bring you some happiness, but it cannot bring you joy. It's not that we do not know these things. It's because we get too overwhelmed with the things of life, sin, sorrow, disappointment, and we become blinded to the truth that's right before our eyes. And we need to acknowledge that God, in every aspect of our lives, is Lord. Even as we said last week when we looked at Luke chapter 24, when Jesus came along, found those two men walking on the road from Emmaus. Remember them? They just left Jerusalem and they didn't know who Jesus was until he broke the bread. Remember? They were weighed down with what? The tragedy. They said, we thought he was the one to save Israel. They had great hopes. And all of a sudden, here we have this mock trial. All of a sudden, here we have the cross. This horrible, cruel cross and death of Christ. And so they went home. They went back home to Emmaus. Oh, gosh. Consumed with worry and anguish. But the scripture says, in verse 17, Jesus asked them, what manner of communication is this? Did you have one to another? As they walked. And he said, and are sad. I understand. What's wrong with you guys? You're just down in the dumps. You know, you'd have to jump up to get on the curb. You know, you're terrible. Then it says, when they broke bread, their eyes were opened. Our eyes have to be open. We can't see without that. Then they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the way, and what did he do? Open the scripture to us. They were weighed down with the cares of the world. It happened. Matter of fact, I suspect it happens pretty regularly. Something happens to us unexpectedly, and we just get really down. What happened? Those guys in the road to Emmaus, that's what happened. And what had to happen in their life. They thought that he was the one that was going to deliver. They needed a fresh encounter, didn't they? They needed a fresh encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to be injected again with the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And when that started happening, then their whole demeanor changed. These things rekindled their hope. They lifted up their eyes. They opened up their eyes and they saw Jesus again. Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord's there. He's got it. Hands open. Come on. But we say no. I'd rather struggle with this while, Lord. Habakkuk gives this and goes on to say that the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet to be like hinds' feet. A hinds is kind of a deer. It's a very special, little, delicate deer. Have you ever saw some of these nature movies where these goats are walking around on some kind of a cliff, and they jump from place to place, and you think to yourself, how do they do that? Well, these little deer do that, and Habakkuk is saying, the Lord was going to make my feet like that, so that it makes me to walk up in high places. Somebody said, that he enables us to go higher. I like that. He enables us to go higher. Habakkuk said, God can and will enable me to walk in difficult places. It is God who enables me to do those things. One more time. Joy is anchored unshakably in Jesus, not anything else. But the world is powerful, isn't it? It can cause us to lose our focus, and when we lose our focus, it begins stealing our joy. I don't know how it is in your life, but I can grow from being fairly amicable to a real grouch. My wife is just laughing. Just turn it off. You know, I can be positive, uplifting, whatever. Something happens. You know? Todd tells me sometimes, Dad, you're going to stroke out. Stop doing that. I don't know if he's telling me to encourage me or please stroke out so we get rid of you. I don't know what it is. But the world is powerful, and it can cause us to lose our focus. And then it steals our joy. And in stealing our joy, then we're being separated from the Lord. The happiness that we have in the world is all circumstantial. But we need to choose to put our faith and trust in the Lord. And therein is a different kind of circumstance. And we don't have to wait until the problem is solved. Can we pray about that anytime? Sure we can. We don't have to wait till the problem is resolved to put our faith and trust in Christ. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do any of those kind of things. We can begin almost immediately, or not almost, we can immediately, to praise and thank him where we're at. Singing. Singing, I think, is an integral part of worship. And I think it's really something that we should focus on a little bit more in the sense of singing. You see, someone said to me years ago, joy is not a destination. We don't have one day and we arrive and never experience any disappointment after that. They said that joy is a journey from beginning to end in our life. And walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, then every day can produce in us joy. Remember what David said over in Psalms 23? I know you can quote it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did he say? I will fear no evil. For what? For thou art with me. There's the difference. Just that little there. And then he ends up that by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for what? Forever. Forever. I think we ought to reach out and grab a little joy. Don't you think so? It's there for us. But maybe you're like Pretty Pete. You've been sucked down the vacuum. You've been slushed in the sink. You've had the hairdryer. You've been run through the ringer. And we think to ourselves, oh, that's the end of that. Oh, no. We're God's singers. We're his proclaimers. We're to show the world there is joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. It's different. And in showing that difference is where our influence comes. Sometimes, I suspect this may have happened to you, that somebody you know, maybe you've been talking to, witnessing to, or whatever, like at work or some place like that, and it's kind of a cool reception, you know, okay, and all that kind of stuff. But then something happens in their life, and they look to you and they say, Taylor, what do you got that I don't have? Isn't that our, that's boy, isn't that, you know, I've had that happen a couple times. It always surprises me. You know, hey, Pastor Mike, how do I become a Christian? Well, listen. What? I can help you all that. I just didn't realize I needed to, you know. We all need the Lord Jesus in our lives every minute, every second of the day. No doubt about it. The world never lets up. It never does. pounding. Sometimes the surface high and sometimes it's a little ebb and flow, but it's always there. It's always bringing to us that kind of thing. Rejoice in the Lord. When?
Always.
Father God, we thank you for the day, even the snowy day that you've given us. Be with us as we go from this place. But Lord, help us to depend upon you each and every moment of the day. Our joy is in you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Bless all those that are here today and our families. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Go with God and be careful.